Amen. Remain standing in a moment. Psalm 119, we'll read our 8 verses together that we begun on last Wednesday night and took you on a rather lengthy journey and study. And we'll allude to that, but I don't want to bog down in any of that. If I start on that, Brother A.L., I will bog down for sure. And so I need to quickly reference just a few things, and then we're going to make our way through these verses one by one tonight. Verse 25, under the heading of Daleth, fourth Hebrew letter, the Bible said, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." All right, you can be seated this evening. And that is the reading here of, amen, this fourth section tonight. In this fourth section of this, we call it a glorious psalm. As it magnifies the word of God, we find it to be under the banner, the Hebrew letter, Daleth. Daleth, I told you last week, is symbolized and representation by a door. And what we've been doing under each of these Hebrew letters is taking the symbol and the hieroglyphic representation of the Hebrew letter and showing that there is a symbol and emblem found of the Word of God in each of these headings. It's been amazing as these letters correspond to a particular symbol, how that the Word of God is magnified in each section in a good connection with some truth or vein of truth in that very symbol. Of course, each section, each of these 8 verses, for instance, under Daleth, has in it, each line begins with that Hebrew letter. And so that acrostic bears out through the entirety of this wonderful psalm. And so when we think about Daleth being a door, we see the Word of God is like a door. A door speaks, we said last week, speaks of entrance. It's the entry point that takes you beyond a barrier. And so the Bible is the entry point of the spiritual and the truth beyond the fleshly barriers of man's religion, man's opinions, and man's ways of thinking. A door speaks of choice, symbolic of the opportunities that are set before us. We speak of a door. There's a door. Paul spake of doors being open concerning his ministry. That doesn't mean physical doors, but there were representations that are seen and alluding to a door being a choice. And so the Bible is a door, requires a choice on our account. It speaks of access. A door is the way in which access is gained to what is on the other side. And so God's word, we said last week, is the only access to truth and grace and the ways of God. It takes us beyond where we are and leads us into things that are on the other side. In that, it speaks of transition. A door once entered and crossed takes us from one place into another. And so the Holy Scriptures are the threshold of spiritual transition in our lives. It's one of my favorite points, and much preaching could be done, will maybe even be done along this line tonight. And when we think of the Word of God, when we think of the Scripture, that it is a transition that carries us from where we are to where God would have us to be. And then it speaks of exiting, that doors are not only that allow people in, but can be exited, thus leaving behind what was known from the inside. And this speaks to us tonight of God's Word as a door that many have walked out of and strayed from and are being entertained by other doors. They have left things that they once believed. They have left things that at one time they clung to because of the Word of God. And tonight they have exited away from the door of God's Word, and their life is in a mess. And so we're thinking about the word door being used in the Word of God. In fact, you'll find the word door used 189 times in your King James Bible in the plural form. Doors is used another 71 times. And then the idea of a threshold, that word threshold is used 14 times in the Word of God. And so that's a big subject. That's a lot of verses we could go to and find different truths about doors. We looked at just the book of Genesis and Exodus on last week and run through those introductory books about what we could learn about doors and then made application about the Word of God. Now, I'm not re-preaching all of this, but just kind of get our bearings about us. We said in Genesis 4:7 is the first mention of the word door, Brother Jack, where the Lord said to Cain, after that he had brought the fruit of the ground as a sacrifice, and his offering had been rejected by God, that God confronted him in his carnality and in him being angry with God. He said, if you do well, he said, will you not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And we learn from that that Cain found sin lying at the door when he went away from what God had commanded. And the idea and the application is simply this. Anytime we do not well, anytime we do not heed what God has commanded, that there'll always be sin waiting for us when we cross out of the door. And what a truth and what an application to our life. And sin is always waiting on us when we step away from the Word of God. No entered salvation from the judgment of God through the door of the ark. And the Word of God is the entryway that will bring a man or a woman into the grace of God that brings salvation from the judgment of God that is to come. Abraham experienced fellowship with the manifest presence of God while resting, the Bible said, in the door of his tent. And so it was in the door, while he was resting in the door, that God paid him a visit. What is the application? Rest in the Word of God, and God will manifest himself to you. God will show up. And God will, my friend, sit and sup with you and you with him. A men of Sodom wearied themselves, the Bible said, trying to find the door after they were divinely made blind because of their resistance to that call of repentance to turn from their sinful and perverted intentions. And God blinded them. And the application is, be careful what you do with the calls and the preaching of repentance in your life. The day's coming, you're going to need to find the door. You're going to need the door. And God may blind you to being able to find the door. The brothers of Joseph communed with his servant at the door, Genesis 43:19. And the verses following speak of the fact that from the door they were led into Joseph's house and ultimately into the company of Joseph. And Joseph being a picture of the Lord Jesus, his servant, no doubt a picture of the Spirit of God. And we commune with the Holy Ghost through the Word of God. And that he's leading our life from the door and he's taking us to Jesus' house. Amen, the Father's house, and there we'll be in his presence. But the path is, we've got to commune with him from the door. And all that, those are the mentions of the word door in Genesis. I walked you through 10 times, 10 ways the word door magnifies the word of God in the book of Exodus. And I won't even embark upon that tonight. Go back and listen to it again, all right? And so we tried to lay it out last week. There's so many ways practically and scripturally that we can look at a door as a symbol of the Word of God. And with those truths set forth about God's word being a spiritual door, we come now to our text tonight where we want to pick up where David here confesses the burden his soul is under. His soul is stressed out. We'll see that tonight. His soul is heavy. His soul is burdened. His soul seems or feels like that it is melting away and then is dying and being drawn down into the grave. And all of this is due to the environment and the situation and the battles that David is fighting. And we can identify with David. Let's be honest. Life and the Christian life sometimes is hard. It ain't as hard as the life of the transgressor. The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. And it's hard on them. And an old preacher I heard years ago, a man said the way of a transgressor is hard, and it's hard on everybody around them. I believe that's right. And so when I say the Christian life can be hard, I don't mean in the sense of the life of a sinner. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm not complaining. But let's be honest. Sometimes we're in environments and situations and battles where we just feel like, I don't know if I can make it. And that's where David is at. But David's cry here in this portion of Psalm 119 is for refuge behind the door of God's word where he knows and where he expresses that the Lord could do a work in his life that would be unknown to the world and the enemies that are around him, that there behind the word of God, the door of the word of God, God would pour out grace and mercy, and God would pour out spirituality, and God would give David truth, and God would change David's tune, and God would help David's walk, and God would enlarge David's heart as a way of the ministry that God would give and perform upon David behind the closed doors of God's word. And so I give you this far last week, and we're preaching Daleth, and we're preaching this section under Daleth, the word of God like a door, and we're preaching on the thought behind closed doors. And there is a work, there are things God can say, and there are things God can do in our life if we'll get behind, listen, away from the world and away from the enemy, and for a little while get outside of maybe the physical environment that we're in and maybe the emotional situation we're in, and get out of maybe that battle that is raging and get behind the closed door of the word of God, and there God can do his secret work in our life. I thought maybe I'd give you this in the end. Let me illustrate it this way. In the New Testament, and I know it's about prayer, because Jesus said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And what did he say? He said, and shut the door. I understand it's about prayer, but here's what he said. He said, thy Father, which is in secret. Amen. Which is in secret. If you'll get in the door and shut the door and begin to commune with your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father lies behind the closed door. Here's what Jesus said. Amen. He said, it's there you can have a meeting with your God. And I want to say tonight that we can have communion with the Word of God, with the Lord, not only through prayer, but through His Word. And there ought to be times in our life when we get behind closed doors. And if I don't get back to that reference, Brother Riley, when I get done, wave your hand and say, preacher, you said, let us know what was else is going to be said about that in the end of the message. And my point is simply this. Jesus said that our Father is in secret. Our Father is waiting on us behind the door. And so by shutting the door, what are we doing? We're leaving everything, my friend, that would hinder us and distract us and drag us down. We're leaving it on the other side of the door, so that God our Father can do His work in our life. And the Bible said our Father is in secret. And so I'm saying tonight, amen, you got to get behind the closed doors of the Word of God. And there is a work, there is a secret work that the Father can do in our life. Things that maybe even the world will see in time to come, but they know nothing of. They don't know how we can be the way we are with things going on in our life, the way they are, the battles we're fighting, the bad news we got from the doctor, and the things that they see going on in our life, and yet we retain a smile, and we retain a strength, and we retain a spirituality about our life. And there are times that even as people's pastor, I wonder how in the world are they making it the way they are? How in the world can they sustain under such a heavy load? And I believe I can tell you tonight from the Word of God, and the secret of that is meeting with the Father in secret behind the closed door of His Word. And those that are making it and those that are not making it, there's one thing that separates them children of God tonight, and it is the ministry of the Word of God. There are those that have gone behind the closed door, and there God is sustaining them by the truth of His Word. Amen. So let me give you five things real quick. It won't take me long. Amen. In this section that David knew he could find behind the closed doors of God's Word. Number one tonight in verse number 25. I want to say behind closed doors there is revival. Behind closed doors there is revival. David speaks in this verse, as I read it to you a moment ago, of his soul going down to the dust. This is a reference that David feels like he's dying. He feels like dust speaks of dryness. Dust speaks, my friend, of man's depravity. And dust speaks of a man returning to the dust in the sense of dying. And so you have dryness, you have depravity, and you have death that are represented. Somebody write that down. That wasn't in my notes. Amen, and I like it. But he said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Amen, I'm dry, I'm depraved, and I'm dying. And what does that kind of man need? Here's what David said. Amen. Through God's Word, I know that I can depend on God quickening me. Amen. In this time of my life. And let's be honest, even as children of God, do we not sense in a dry environment at times? As a child of God, are there not times that there's just such a sense and an awareness of our own depraved nature and fleshly nature and sin that is in us? Is there not a sense in us sometimes that we feel like what we're going through is going to be the death of us? That's where David is at. You know what we need in those times of life. Amen. We need to know that God's Word can quicken us. And my friend, sin revival. The word quicken actually means just that, to live or to revive. It comes conveys not only that one is saved from danger, though it does, but beyond that, Brother Riley, it conveys the idea that one is flourishing in life. David said, I need God to revive me. I feel dry. I feel dryness. I feel that dust of depravity. I feel like I'm dying. Lord, what I need in this time of my life, behind the closed door of Your Word, is that sense that You are sustaining life in me and You're reviving me. And not only just keeping me alive from the danger that I'm in, Lord, I want to flourish again. I want to live again. I want life again. I don't want just to live. I want abundant life in me.
David is aware that the only way, notice how he words this. He said, quicken thou me according to the change in my environment. That's not what he said. He didn't say, I'll be revived when my environment changes. He said, I know your word and meet me in the dust and bring life to me. And when you think of dust, there's no life in dust. Amen. There's no life in dust until God breathes and God sends inspiration. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Because in Genesis 2, the Bible said God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And that's all man was a lump of dust, a lifeless, moveless lump of dirt. When God breathed in him, amen, when God breathed in the man, amen, he put his breath in it, and the Bible said man became a living soul. Amen. Boy, the Lord just feeding me while I'm trying to feed you. Do you know what the New Testament said about the Word of God, about Scripture? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what the word inspiration, Brother Mike, would know this? Amen. Most of y'all know this. Amen. You know what the word inspiration means? It means God breathed. The breath of God. You know what the Word of God is? It is the breath of God. And tonight you may feel like a lifeless, moveless, dying lump of dirt tonight. But David said, Lord, quicken me. Breathe your word into me. And behind closed doors, I pray that God would allow me. I have revival in my inner man. And I say tonight, that's what the church needs. That's what our families need. That's what our individual lives need. And the means that God is going to revive us is not going to be through emotionalism. It's not going to be in busyness. It'll be, my friend, when we get behind closed doors with God and God takes his word and gives revival to you and I. Revival. Number 2, verse 26 and 27. Behind closed doors, David knew that he could have revival. Behind closed doors, David knew he could have revelation. In verse 26 and 27, notice with me, that here David speaks to the Lord of his situation and is confident that God has heard his prayer. He said, I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. Lord, I told you where I was. I told you what I was going through. I told you how I felt like it was affecting me. Lord, I've laid it all out to you. I have declared my ways, and I am sure that God has heard me. Now, we sang tonight, God is so good. And in that second line, we that second way we sing that, that he answers prayer, and I'm thankful he does. But I tell you, we ought to back up and thank God he answers prayer. But the fact that he even hears our prayer is a goodness of God. Amen. David said, I've declared my ways. I've given God the heart, my heart about the situation that I'm in. And thank God I'm confident that God has heard me. Amen. Now, David is not going to wait for his situation to be turned around. In fact, if I could word it this way, in these verses, having declared his way confidently that God has heard him, if he needs the Lord to do anything for him, I think he is saying in these verses that it would be for God to give David the insight that he needs concerning God's word. You say, well, why would you say that, preacher, if he needs anything? He needs God to give him victory in the battle. Listen, he does. But what if victory tarries? What if it's God's will that he stays in the battle a little while longer? You say, preacher, if he needs anything, he needs God to supply a way to get out of the situation he's in. And we're confident that God can do that. But what if it's God's will that he stays in that environment a little while longer? So the greatest need of David's life is not an exit out of where he is. It is that while I'm here, Lord, let me have insight about truth and the Word of God and how it fits in my life for this time that I'm in. I need revelation. I need revelation. I need insight into the Word of God. And so what does he say? He said, teach me thy statutes. The word teach me means to instruct, or give me instruction, give me revelation that comes by literally sitting at your feet and you taking your word and making it real to my life. The word teach me, the phrase teach me thy statutes goes on. It not only means to instruct, but if need be, goad me, chasten me, and provoke me however you need to do what I'm supposed to do. And I say that David is saying, Lord, let your word reprove, rebuke, and exhort me with all long suffering. Lord, while I'm here, I don't want to just, I'm trusting you're going to give me revival. But Lord, I need to know how I'm supposed to live. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Let me say it this way, Brother Charney. What he's saying is, I have told you where I'm at. I'm confident you've heard me. I don't know how much longer you're going to leave me here. I don't know how much further in the battle that victory awaits. But Lord, what I want more than anything, what I need more than anything, is behind this closed door with you. Show me, teach me, and Lord, let your word do its work in my life so that I can maintain a testimony of a child of God in this time. Amen. Revelation, and only the word of God can do that. Sometimes it's just through simple instruction. Let's be honest, sometimes most of us are so thick-skulled and hard-headed that the Lord's got to thump us around just a little bit. And David said, Lord, even if you've got to do that, just behind closed doors, amen, let me know revelation. He said, make me to understand. Make me to understand. Now, David is not saying, take me beyond my will. Oh no, this is actually an expression of David's will. Our God does not do his work by force in our life. He does it by grace. And so, Brother A.L., this is not David saying, Lord, I wish you just make me even in spite of my own will. Oh no, this is the will of David, is that God would mold him and do such a work in his life that David would be made into what God would have him to be. Make me to understand. Listen, this phrase means to perceive, to discern and observe. David is saying, Lord, I don't know up from down right now where I'm at. I don't know the way through. I don't even know how to make it. Lord, would you allow me to discern through your word, amen, the steps I'm supposed to take in this season of my life? That's what you find behind closed doors. Amen. You find something that goes beyond reading a good story out of the Reader's Digest. And you'll find more than just some quirky little thing that you learned on a podcast. Oh, you'll find truth to live by. You'll find understanding. You'll find perception. God, through his word, can give you discernment about how you're to live in hard times. Amen. Lord, teach me and make me to observe your word. The word and phrase, you make me to understand. I like this. It implies or means to pay attention to and to be intelligent in. It's an interesting phrase used throughout the New Testament. The Apostle Paul would use this many times in his writings to the churches. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. And I tell you, God wants us to be intelligent about this book. God doesn't want you ignorant about what he has said. Say, preacher, how then am I to become intelligent in the Word of God? You're going to have to spend time with your Father in secret and shut the door and let him begin to bring divine intelligence and spiritual intelligence and biblical intelligence into your life. You need the Lord. Listen, your job is to pay attention to it and to lay down your will to God, and God would do his will of providing you the intelligence you need about his word. Amen. Now, you ain't going to get that through the natural man. The Bible said the natural man receiveth not the things of the Lord. You can't understand that book through your own intellectual mind. Amen. In fact, Paul would go further, and you got to get a hold of this. You cannot, the wise and the educated, all the people that's, and I've been to college, but that don't mean nothing. Amen. I've not only been to college, I graduated. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But you don't learn. You can't know the Word of God because you have a degree on the wall. You don't become intelligent about the Bible because you've been to seminary. You don't become intelligent. The proof of intelligence in the Word of God is not that you can quote a lot of verses. Nothing wrong with that. I hope you can quote them all. And it's not learned in a classroom. And may I even say to a large degree, it's not even learned by way of just showing up to church. The Bible said the Word of God and the things of God and truth must be spiritually discerned. It takes the Holy Ghost to impart to a man or a woman intelligence in this book. Amen. There's been a lot of smart sounding people wrote a lot of things that said things God never said, and they proved their lack of intelligence of the Word of God by what they have put out there. Amen. Amen. David said, behind closed doors, there's revival and there's revelation. Teach me and make me to understand. This would help David. He acknowledges this in the end of verse 27. And if God would give him this thing that he needs the most, if he needs anything, he needs revelation of the Word of God to his life, that this would help David be a testimony in this situation he's living through. You say, well, where do you see that? Look at it, and I'm moving on. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. I'll quit talking about how bad my situation is. I'll quit talking about what a monstrosity that my life is turned into. And God, if you would teach me and make me understand, and I can discern through your word where I'm at and how to make it through, and Lord, I'll be able to tell everybody around me what wondrous things God has done. Amen. We live in a generation of Christianity that all they do is talk about how bad everything is. Amen. And I say tonight, if we would get behind closed doors, God would give us revelation of truth that would reset our focus on the wondrous things God is doing. And we would begin to talk, amen, about that. And that would become the testimony of our life. Amen. Through the revelation we got behind closed doors. Verse 28, quickly, behind closed doors, David found refreshment. And the Bible said in this verse, let me read it, my soul melted for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Do you see what David is going to find in the Word of God? Behind the door, behind closed doors of truth and spiritual wisdom. David said, there'll be refreshment for my soul. The first part of this verse, I must say this tonight, it speaks of the spirit of depression, the spirit of grief, and the spirit of anxiety that has been upon David. And listen, the weakness that it has brought into David's life. David said, Lord, what I'm going through has touched my soul. And in touching my soul, when he said my soul melteth for heaviness, literally, I am depressed. I am in a state of grief. I am having all sorts of anxieties because of what is going on in my life. Now listen, you can take a pill or not take a pill. And you can go talk with somebody about it or not go talk to somebody about it. And here's what I want you to understand tonight. David learned that pills, whatever. And programs, whatever, and seeing a doctor, whatever. Nothing wrong with all that. It all has its place. But as a child of God, if you're going to find the refreshment, real refreshment you need, you cannot find it absent of getting with God behind that book. Amen. If you find a pill that helps, wonderful. But it won't be lasting if you live your life outside of the door of God's Word. A program, wonderful. Get all the counseling. Talk about, and we all have baggage, and we all have things that, amen, catches up with our minds and certain stressors and things that just agitate even our very soul. And thank God we can sit down and get counseling and find out what we're to do with all of these things. That's so wonderful. I'm telling you as a child of God that you've got to learn what David learned, that the only true means of real lasting refreshment and strength to the spiritual child of God is behind closed doors with God strengthening us through His Word. Amen. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was called to this day a prince of preachers. I don't know outside of the Apostle Paul, as God used him literally to write the Word of God, that there's been another man in Christianity that has had an impact even after all these years he's died of sermons that have been published and books that he wrote. And statements I see all the statements that people attribute to Charles Spurgeon made. I don't know how one man, I would need 10,000 lifetimes to say all the things that they say Spurgeon said. His life was so monumental, even to this day. Charles Spurgeon struggled deeply with what they called in his day melancholy. It's what he referenced it as. We call it today depression and anxiety. Amen. Spurgeon would get in such fits with melancholy, and that spirit of grief and burden and heaviness would hit him so hard that his wife would have to summon men of his church to come in and help dress him and get him up and get him to church. And somehow they would stand him behind the pulpit and he would thunder forth the Word of God and stand there in power and strength, and sinners would walk the aisle and get saved, and spiritual lives would be revived and people would be helped by that man that was so weak and heavy in his very soul. He'd have bouts where he would get so discouraged and down that literally his wife would take him months at a time and take him to Australia. He'd spend months in Australia on the beach, refreshing his mind, relaxing, laying down the burdens of the ministry, and then he would go back refreshed and ready to take on the load. Hey man, I'm feeling depressed right now. Anybody want to send me to Australia? Miss Kate said, I vote for that. I ain't even looking at her. You say, how could a man face all of that still be used so mightily of the Lord? Because even in them times, he'd be strengthened by the Word of God. He had drawn so much strength in the strong hours of his life that even when he was weak, he could lean in on the Word of God. And even though his body and his mind was in a turmoil, there was a strength that came supernaturally so that even when he stood, the multitudes didn't even know what he was going through because he found refreshment in the Word of God. I'm telling you tonight, the pharmaceutical companies, they're making billions and billions of dollars off of people, and God has provided something for us and is absolutely free and goes beyond. I'm not preaching against pills tonight. I'm just telling you, God has given us a free source of refreshment and strength that can sustain us in our times of depression. Amen. Amen. There have been days I've got to quit. It's 8 o'clock. I'm done at 8:05, whether I'm done or not. There have been times in my life. There have been weeks of my ministry. I'm telling you, I was running on what God had given me months and years before I got to that week because I couldn't study. I couldn't function. My mind was going crazy. I know this is going to be hard. Some of y'all believe there's been times I've been weeping in my office telling God, I can't do it today. I cannot go out there today. God said, yeah, you can. There have been times, Brother Mike, I've stopped at them double doors before I open it. Brother Tim, just give one of these. And open that door, and nobody save maybe my wife, and not even her sometimes, know what was going on up here and in here and on my shoulders, and come out and preach like a wild man, and people come by the door and say, man, that was the greatest message I ever heard. And I'm thinking, how in the world is that the greatest message you ever heard? The only thing I can say, Brother Tim, is God's strength that he gives through his word is something that is absolutely amazing in the life of God's children. You'll find that behind closed doors in secret with your Father. Verse 29, he found removal. Amen. Notice what he said, remove from me the way of life. I love this phrase, and grant me thy law graciously. Take some things out of my life. Lord, by your grace, put some things in. He found removal. David is aware there are things he needs removed from him. Specifically in the text, oh, I got to say this. Specifically, I think he hits at the root of everything when he said, remove from me the way of lying. This is where all of us in the building say, I tell you right now, I may be a lot of things, but I ain't a liar. Here's a man after God's own heart said, Lord, I need you to remove the way of life. What is he talking about? The idea here is that David is saying here by specifically hitting in this, and behind closed doors of truth, the Lord removes all hypocrisy and allows us to know the gracious granting of truth that we can live by. Now, I'll be honest, there are, if we examine our lives tonight, there is in all of this the need for God to remove the way of lying. I may be a lot of things tonight, and in some ways I'm this, but I don't want to be. There are ways in which we all have hypocrisies. We say things we don't mean. We tell people we love the Lord when in fact we really don't love the Lord with all our heart. And I could go into all sorts of things that tap into the way of life. Sammy Allen said, Brother Mike, Sammy Allen said years ago, they were singing the hymn. I forget what it was. It was one of them talking about serving the Lord with all your heart or something. Brother Sammy got up as only Brother Sammy could do, and he said, y'all know it's as wrong to sing a lie as it is to tell one. I didn't know preachers could say things like that. He said, it's wrong for y'all to sing a lie. Y'all just sang this, and just so you know, it's as wrong to sing a lie as it is to tell a lie. You know, you can sing a lie, you can tell a lie, and you can live a lie. That's where tonight What divides the Pharisees from true disciples of the Lord is we're willing to let the Lord deal with the hypocrisy of our life. Amen. David found removal. Ain't it good when God takes some things out of your life that shouldn't be there? God does that. You know how God does that? David said it. By graciously granting us His law. Here's the way you're living, but here's my law and what it says. Now you can live by this and you don't have to live in that lie anymore. Amen. I tell you, people get mad. They hear preaching that challenges them and the law is laid out before them. They'll get mad about that kind of preaching. Can I tell you, as a child of God, I can't even comprehend why people would get mad about straight, forward, line upon line Bible preaching. That's what removes things out of my life that ought not be there. Amen. What David find behind closed doors, he found resolve. Verse 30 through 32, David makes a trio of statements. I have, I will. They all are statements of resolve that he is going to connect to the Word of God in his life. I'll just throw them out. Verse 30, it involves choice. The resolve that he found involved choice. He said, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. It involves cleaving. Verse 31, I love this. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. That word stuck, I don't have time to develop it. My time's gone. But it's from the same root word used in verse 25, cleaveth, which is the same word used in Genesis 2:24 to speak of the oneness that ought to be in marriage. Amen. Miss Kate stuck with me, and I'm stuck with her. Amen. Whether we like it or not. Most of the days we do like it. Some days we don't. You know what? We're stuck. Bible said, man's to leave father and mother and to cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's what the Bible said. That's the word David said. I have married myself to the Word of God. Spiritually, I am cleaving. I am stuck to the Word of God. Watch it now. Whether I like it or not. Amen. Whether I like it or not, I am resolved to stay stuck to the way of truth. And then it involves continuance. He said, I will run the way of thy commandments. That just speaks to me of a man who is resolved. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm just going to keep running in this way. You know where you find that resolve? Behind closed doors with the Lord. He talked about the Lord enlarging his heart. I could go to Isaiah 60 and verse 5. It's used in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth that his heart was enlarged. 2 Corinthians 6:11. And I ain't got time to even deal with all that. But as God was enlarging a heart, speaks of boldness and fear of the Lord. God, if you'll give me the boldness here in your word, it'll help me to run and continue in the word of God. Amen. And so what did Jesus say? He said, thy Father which is in secret. You ain't got to wave at me. I'm back on it. I didn't forget. What did Jesus say? Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. If you'll spend time behind closed doors with God in secret, God will reward your life before men in a very open manner. And you won't have to have a t-shirt that runs around and promotes that you're a child of God. And you won't need a lapel pin that just magnifies, oh, what a great Christian that I am. People will get around you and they'll go, there's something different about her and him. God will let your light shine and your life be to the glory of God. Why? Not because we're super duper spiritual, but because we spent time behind closed doors with God in His Word, working in us so that our life could be worth something before the world we live in. Is that right? I believe that's right. Behind closed doors. Well, we've made it through four letters. Amen. We'll have a little break here next week out of it, and then we'll get right back at it. I think, did I tell y'all, is it 22 letters, Brother Mike? 22 letters. We're taking 2 weeks a letter, so that's almost a year worth of preaching just in Psalm 119. I'm trying to speed it up, Brother Larry. I just can't find a way to do it. So we'll be here a while, okay? 18 more to go. Riley and Maggie, they liable to have four more children. Amen. All right. Thank you for being here tonight. Sure do love you. That makes sense? Good.